Let's turn to the scriptures, beloved, shall we? I suppose that we're all familiar with that wonderful 8th verse of Acts chapter 1. Let's turn to it just to refresh our memory, shall we? In the Acts of the Apostles in the first chapter, verse 8, Jesus speaking, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. He was taken away when he'd said that. The Lord kept him on the earth until he'd said that. And then he was taken away and he vanished out of their sight altogether. We know he's coming back. We were thinking about this, some of us, last evening together. He's coming back and it's going to be very wonderful. His feet are going to touch on the exact spot where they left. And he's coming back to this earth again. But meanwhile, beloved, the thing that he said in that 8th verse holds good. That men and women, by his grace, are to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. And they are to be his witnesses everywhere, right to the uttermost part of the earth. Well, now I want with you tonight to look into this subject of witness and just trace it through in the New Testament, each one of us with our Bibles open before us, to see what the Lord has to say around this great word, witness. It's a marvelous word. I was pointing out yesterday that it's one of the great, I didn't say it this way, but nevertheless it's true, that it's one of the great things about God, that he wants us to be in the glorious and privileges and wonders of those same things that Jesus himself was in. For instance, Jesus purposely refers to himself in the Revelation as the witness. He calls himself the witness, the faithful and true witness. It's exactly the same word. And what he is, he wants us to be. He's the witness, then he wants us to be a witness. Isn't that wonderful? He's the Son, and he wants us to be sons. Amen. He's the great saint, so he wants us to be saints. Amen. He was the great sacrifice, so he wants us to be sacrifices, living sacrifices, as the scripture says. Not quite for the same reason. No expiation of sin in our sacrifice, but nevertheless, in our order and in our measure, he wants us to come up into the glories of the experiences that we would have reserved solemnly for God. But he says, no, I've come to share it all with you. It's really true, you know. He's really genuine, is our Lord Jesus. He's true through and through. He really does love us, and he wants us to enter into an experiences as he knew himself. For you will remember he had the Holy Ghost come upon him. And you will remember it's this that he wants to share with us. He can't bear it that any one of us should seem to be in any degree outside of the glories that he knows and enjoys himself. He can't stand it, he's not prepared to have it be that you should be in misery if he's in joy, you be in sin if he's in holiness, you be in weakness if he's in power. He can't bear it, beloved, that you should be out of anything that he is enjoying himself. That's the kind of Savior he is. It's that sort of realization that prompts me to shout out, "Oh Lord, we're only really beginning to learn of you. You're greater than we knew." These wonderful things that God wants us to enjoy. How precious and glorious it is that he has this thought in his heart and this direct intention in his coming and dying and rising again, and in his exaltation and glory. He's gone back there, you know, that the Holy Ghost may be shed out. He says, "You're going to receive the Holy Ghost coming upon you." He said, "You'll receive power when that happens." So away he goes to do it. He goes up there to do it. Praise God. He doesn't make empty promises. He doesn't just use words as circumlocutions to get round something. He pointedly uses language. He says, "You're going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you. You're going to be witnesses unto me." So he goes up there, and down comes the Blessed Spirit. He's received out of their sight. And they are forever in his sight, and in his thoughts, and in his plans and provisions. And they're going to be in his power, and in his name, and in his life, and in his mission, in his works. They're going to be in everything. Oh, what a glorious and vast thing this is. Now, I suppose that you're beginning to say to yourself, "Well, am I in all this?" Well, let me assure your heart for a start, if you're not in it actually, you are provisionally in the great provisions of God. If this is not so in your life, then you've got to get your life right. You've got to get in line with this. You've got to come out of everything else you've been sort of staying back in, and you've got to come forward boldly, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2, to the throne of grace. You've got to come there, and you've got to have straight dealings with him. Praise God. He's touched with the feelings of all your infirmities. He understands you completely. He knows what he's put in your heart as desires to be for him. And he is set to satisfy them and fulfill his own glorious word in your life. Why, I could go on like this for hours and not get right down onto this great subject. I suppose I'm sort of worked up in it a bit because during the course of the day I've been talking to people along this line that they can have and be in all that the Lord Jesus Christ is, and out of his bounty and in the fullness of his glory provided for them, provides and gives. Amen. None of you are to come short of anything. Let that be well understood in your heart. Praise God. You haven't got to learn to live with anything that short of God's fullest and highest and best. Praise God. Don't have a spirit that lies down and takes anything less than the greatest. Have that about you, beloved, which knows that God has looked upon you with love and joy and is well able to fulfill and satisfy in you. All that he has put there. Never, never move from that position. Because you see, he wants you to be witnesses to him. He doesn't want you to be a witness to yourself. He wants you to be a witness to human shortcomings, but divine accomplishments. That's what he wants you to be a witness to. He doesn't want you to be a witness of some poor, miserable East Ender, West Ender, South Ender, North Ender, or whatever you are, or wherever you come from. He doesn't want you to be a witness to that. He wants you to be a witness to him that sits on the throne in all his glory. Amen. What a marvelous thing. Start thinking now how greatly he loves you. Start telling your heart the truth. Start whispering reality into your own soul. And don't give your inner faculties up to the voice of Satan or the whisperings of some insidious spirit. Start to tell yourself the truth. Amen. That's what God's given you a voice for. To tell yourself the truth and tell other people the truth. That's right. And so the Lord expects us. Expects us. By virtue of his cross, he expects that every one of us, beloved, should wake right up from sleep, get right up from some kind of tomb in which we've incarcerated ourselves. And believe him. He's expecting us to come all agog and say, Lord, if that's your provision for me, that's what I want. And that's what I'm going to have. You haven't got to be a specially forceful character for it either. You haven't got to be a sort of a superior being for it either. All you have to be, beloved, is a confirmed believer. And I don't mean men's confirmations, but a confirmed believer in your heart that you know that these things are there. Now, it seems strange to me that I should have to say these kind of things. For looking back in my own life, it wasn't as though I had to press through into all these blessings. It seems that they overtook me. You know, like it says in Deuteronomy, that the reaper's going to overtake the ploughman. these blessings, he said. When you're in the promised land, you see. That's where they were going to be. And God said that these tremendous blessings, I'll bless you in your basket, I'll bless you in your store, I'll bless you in this and I'll bless you in that and I'll bless you in the other and I'll bless you in everything. This is God. This is his fixed determination. And as for me, it worked out that way in my life and seems to go on working out that way all the time. I've had years of it now. I'm not just talking about a 5-minute experience or a fortnight of it, nor even 10 years. How about that? I'm going back beyond that. On and on and on and on it goes by the Lord's grace. 20 years. Yes, hallelujah. Yes. I wasn't meaning 11 when I said 10. No, no. Tremendousness, beloved. What God wants to do for us. And he's intending to do it. Because, he says, he wants us to be witnesses unto him. Amen. He doesn't want us to be witnesses unto a denomination or witnesses unto a blessing. He doesn't want us to be witnesses to Pentecost, for instance. He didn't say that. You'll be witnesses under Pentecost. He said, you'll be witnesses under me. He doesn't want us to be witnesses under holiness. He says he wants to be witnesses under me. He didn't say, I want you to be witnesses under the blood. He said, I want you to be witnesses under me. He didn't say, I want you to be witnesses under Calvary. I want you to be witnesses unto me. He says, amen. Oh, glory. Hey, this is tremendous. Unto him, a wonderful, living, eternal being whose glory dawns upon the soul with every passing moment, whose blessings are heaped up, ready to give unto us all. Do you believe that? If not, it's not much use me talking to you. If you haven't got a heart that's believing and on the fact of believing prepared to receive and by receiving enter into, it's never much good coming together. Marvelous thing. So we all have tonight to say, now Lord, what's next? What's next, Lord? Praise the name of the Lord. And he'll say to you, me, I am next. I'm here. I'm always. I'm all the time. I'm all things. Me. Now, beloved, once this thing is grasped, and we know what the Lord is saying to us, then we can move on unto all the fullness of God. You know, beloved, in this great truth of the witness, if you turn with me, say, into the 15th chapter, we can begin to trace a pattern. Now, before you can be a witness to the Lord, this has to take place in your experience. Verse 8 of chapter 15, God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, before we can be witnesses to him, he has to be our witness. God must be our witness. We'll trace this through. He says, I, or Peter is saying it, I'm just putting it into the first person with God. He's saying, I bear witness to you first. That's the tremendous thing for our hearts to grasp. And when God bears witness to us, he bears witness in one way first of all, one great way. He bears witness by giving us the Spirit of God. And if you haven't received the Spirit of God, it's because God is dealing faithfully with you. He brings us all to a point where we desire the Holy Ghost and desire God and desire what he has for us above everything else in the world. That's right. And my word, he'll never get his hand off your life till he's got you there. Amen. This is, I'm the living proof of this. He got me there. He got me to the place where with all my believing and all natural abilities that I had and all sorts of things like that, he got me to the place where I wanted the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I never wanted him according to any pattern of teaching or background of doctrine. As a matter of fact, I had to forsake all my background of doctrine. I had to forsake all that. And he got me hungering after the Holy Ghost. And he got me right there, and he bore witness to my sincerity. And he bore witness to my honesty. And he bore witness to my desperation. He bore witness to my need. He bore witness to the fact that I was true in my search. And he gave me the Holy Ghost. That's right. He's my witness. Praise the name of the Lord. Because you see, in all this matter of witness, the Holy Ghost is bound up. In all the matter of witness, it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why I can't be a witness until the Holy Ghost comes on me. I can't do it. That's an impossibility. And so, God bears witness to us in this great matter of the third person of the Trinity. And Peter said he gave these people, these Gentiles in Cornelius' household, he gave them the Holy Ghost. He bore witness to them. And of course, as soon as he bore witness to them, and they became witnesses, then it bore witness to Peter and all that were with him. You read the story in Acts chapter 10. It bore witness to Peter. There, in an identical experience to ours, gave them the Holy Ghost as he did unto us. Put no difference between them and us. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was the coming of the Holy Ghost that did it. Amen. The coming of the Holy Ghost. My, if these apostles, these first apostles walked in amongst us tonight, they'd soon sort out who were in it and who weren't. They'd soon sort us all out. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, you've got to have an identical experience with those people who stood on Olivet with Jesus and then went and waited in the upper room. An identical experience. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Because it's the identical scripture, and it's the identical God, and it's the identical promise. Amen. And we're in the identical age. Amen. It hasn't ceased. And God is moving in this great realm. Turn over with me now. Let's follow this word a little further. In the first epistle of John, in 1 John, and the 5th chapter, the apostles in unison bear witness to this fact. Verse 6 of the 5th chapter. This is he. The he is mentioned in the 5th verse. Jesus, the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Amen. That's right. That's right. Because the Spirit is truth. And you haven't got truth in you unless the Spirit's in you. Amen. Amen. You may believe the words of truth, but you haven't got truth in you unless the Spirit is in you. Praise God. That's a glorious thing for us to realize. You see, God's bringing us into the immovables. God's bringing us into the eternals. God is bringing us into that which can't pass away and cannot fluctuate and cannot change. Amen. It's the Spirit that bears truth. Let's go Let the Spirit who is truth. And so we go down, and if verse 9, we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Amen. Amen. And it's the Spirit that bears witness.
Glory.
Amen. He needs no outward proofs. He needs no props. You could take his Bible away from him and he'd still know it. Amen. You see, the tremendous thing about it, beloved, is that the Spirit is truth, and it's the Spirit that bears witness. Glory be to God. The very giving of the Spirit is the testimony to our hearts. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, to move in this realm. Now, first of all, you will see, if I may say this, that it's this that makes a man immovable. Steadfast, immovable. It's this that makes a man as sure as the throne of God. It's this that lifts a man above all mere dogmatics and lifts him into the realm of God himself. He has God, the Holy Ghost, witnessing in his own heart.
Glory.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's all here. Praise God. You see, that's, you can't tamper with that. Amen. This is something that is of God. God, the Father, because of God the Son, gives God the Holy Ghost. God, through God, gives God. Amen. It's all there. What a tremendous thing for our hearts. Let's trace it somewhere else, too. Let's get the whole scriptural backing for it, shall we? Romans chapter 8. Oh, you know this one. This is a tremendous one. You love this one, don't you? It says, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Glory. Now this is how the Holy Spirit comes. God gives the Holy Spirit to bear witness to you. The Spirit bears witness because he's truth. Amen. And the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's how it's done. That you are a son of God. You know you're a son of God as much as Jesus knows he's the Son of God. That's beyond peradventure. That's all beyond guesswork.
Amen.
So then, beloved, we're in this great realm of the Spirit. A man is in the Spirit when he's here. Absolutely. He's conscious of spiritual powers. He's conscious of spiritual leading. He's conscious of spiritual sonship. He's conscious of this thing. He has the witness in his heart. Amen. At any odd time, if he just comes down to basic facts, he'll hear it starting up in his heart. Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. He doesn't need poetry to lead him out in it. He's at the source of all true poetry, the Spirit of God. And he moves in this realm. It's his life. Hallelujah. He doesn't live in circumstances. He doesn't even take circumstantial evidence. He's not looking for it. It's all in himself. Hath the witness in himself. The witness, the person who is the witness, the person who is God's witness to me, the witness of the witness, that is the witness bearing witness. Amen. That's what a witness does, bears witness. He's inside. Oh, it's all so glorious. It's all so precious. This is that which has come out of the oath of God, out of the bloodshed at Calvary. God must have it this way. There are so many misleading things. There are so many subtleties. There are so many sidetracks. There are so many voices shouting here and there. So many ideas, so many doctrines, so many this. And all the time it doesn't lie in that at all. It lies in the being of God, and especially for us in the person of the Holy Ghost. You see then why the Holy Ghost is completely indispensable. He's indispensable to God's scheme of salvation. Amen. You say you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. But I tell you, you're also saved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ shed the blood, the Holy Ghost didn't, but the Holy Ghost has come to bring it all into effect in your life. That's right. This is the marvel of it all. Amen. This precious Spirit, the more I learn of him, the more I love him. Now look into the Hebrews letter. And this time in the 10th chapter, a well-known verse to many of us. Jesus, verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Amen. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. The witness of the Holy Ghost to me, beloved, has ever been this since the days when God opened my eyes to see and my heart to receive that he has perfected me forever. That's right. And the Holy Ghost has come to me to bring me into all these perfections, to refine my life, to exclude these things. Some things include other things, wean me more and more away from self and the world and everything. Engage my heart with the perfect one at God's right hand. Listen to the whisperings of the Spirit as he tells me that he's there for me, that blessed one. And I'm here for him, the Holy Ghost tells me. He's come for Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name. And he is going to see that my life, beloved, my life is brought into conformity and correctness. Praise his name. So, listen to his correction. And go on and learn of him. This is the way that God wants us to go. That this blessed Spirit should witness to us. Jesus said this, you will remember. He didn't include this very statement then, but he said that the Holy Ghost, you can find this at the end of John chapter 15. He said, he will bear witness of me, and you also shall bear witness to. That's what he said. He's going to bear witness of him. Hallelujah. That blessed one is going to witness of Jesus in your heart, witness to your heart of him. Amen. Until you're in love with Jesus, till you're filled with Jesus, until you're transformed and translated into Jesus. That's right. He bears witness of him until your sensibilities get filled with him. Until your ideas get filled with him. Until your thoughts are filled with him. Until your imaginings are filled with him. Until your whole personality is filled with Jesus. He's going to bear witness of Jesus. Bear witness of Jesus. And when he's filled you right up with Jesus, 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 you'll be a proper witness as Jesus wants you to be unto him. That's right. That's what he's come for. It's marvelous, isn't it? It's simple. I can understand this. It's a straightforward plan. It's something that even the children, the babes, can understand it. No one need go astray. He's going to come to you, he said. The Father's going to send him in my name. It's going to be a takeover. It's going to be a complete takeover. Praise God. God reckons that when Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood, he bought you out utterly. No room for sin in there. No room for the world in there. No room for your ideas, your things, you. No room for that in there. That's not what God's intention is. God's straight intention with you, you better know it now, is to kill you stone dead and have you buried and gone and forgotten, and a good job too. That's right. That's God's plan with your life. Praise God. That's what the cross is all about. We've all had enough of everybody else's nonsense. We want the goodness of God, the blessings and the glories and the realizable truths of the living Christ. That's what we want. And the Holy Ghost has come with all haste to see that this is fulfilled in your life. He came in such a hurry that they thought a hurricane had hit them on the day of Pentecost. It's right. There's a rushing mighty wind. I'm not exaggerating. You read it. A rushing mighty wind. It filled the place where they were sitting. Amen. God came with a roar. Amen. I think that's probably behind what Wesley has us singing when he says, fill all this mighty void. Yeah. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is well capable. He's able to do this unto the uttermost. Praise the name of the Lord. All right then, beloved. Bearing witness to you that you're perfected forever. And here, beloved, you see the importance, don't you, of that Spirit bearing witness, because you can't believe that unless he bears witness to it. You just can't believe it because it's written in the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people, I point them to that verse, written in the Bible, they say they believe the Bible from cover to cover. They can't believe that because the Spirit isn't witnessing it to them. He witnessed it to the writer of the Hebrews. He was in it all right. He could write it. Praise the name of the Lord. He'll come and witness it to you. Perfected forever. Praise the name of the Lord. This is wonderful. And of course he's got to do it. The task is Herculean. Only God can do it. I can't convince myself these things. It's no good me trying to tell myself these things. The Holy Ghost has got to tell me. Why? When he tells me, that's it. Anything he does is absolutely perfect and right. Unavoidable. God is doing this great work. Now, I want to take one glorious statement by Paul in the first chapter of Romans, just to let our eyes fall on it and see that it's written in this book. In the first chapter of Romans, and the 9th verse, he says, God is my witness. Amen. God is my witness. Can you call on God to be your witness? God is my witness. Hallelujah. And in case you thought that was a slip, you can read him saying the same things in 2 Thessalonians in the first chapter. You needn't turn it up. It's there. God is my witness. Do you know what he meant? This is what he meant. That he wasn't a divided personality. He didn't say something and then inside there was a voice saying, no, it's not right. You know what I mean, don't you? There wasn't something inside saying, no, it's not true. Oh, a man's a whole man when God's his witness. Oh, when God's inside saying, that's right, son. That's true. Hey? When you're not split. Oh, when there's not the terror of an inward contradiction. That's a terrible place to be in. You ever been in that place? An inward contradiction. But beloved, when God's your witness, praise God. You know, beloved, God loves to bear witness. One of the most glorious things that God would like to do for you tonight is bear witness to you. He would love to do it. So that you're absolutely clear inside. Oh, the multitudes, I suppose, now of people, the one has had to help on this very thing. This contradictory voice, this contradictory thing inside, disclaiming all their claims, ruining all their best hopes. And all that God wants to do, beloved, is be inside you, and he wants to be witness to you inside. Of course, you see, here's the strength of a man or a woman. This is the secret of the martyrs. And you know that word witness is martyr. This is the secret of the true witnesses. This is why they could be thrown to the lions. This is why Stephen could be stoned. This is how it all happened. He wasn't a particularly brave man, I expect. He was just a man. But you see, beloved, when a man is led by the Spirit, and when he's moving always in the Spirit, and when he's lived so long that way, he knows better than to deny that very strength and life and grace in him for the sake of a few stones being thrown at him. When you've got used to living that way, It's all so glorious, and it's all so simple. That your strength lies in this. A man's strength doesn't lie just because he's had an experience called the baptism. It lies in this glorious and constant life. In there, nothing can move it. He knows he's in the will of God. He knows he's doing what God wants him to do. He knows that he's the kind of person that God wants him to be at that time. He knows it. He doesn't tot it up from Scripture. He knows it in himself. Glory. God's my witness. Praise God. That's enough. That's sufficient for any man. He'll go anywhere. He'll do anything. Do you know why Jesus said to Peter when he said, "I'll lay down my life for thy sake"? Do you know why? And Jesus said, "You won't go through the night. You'll deny me three times." Why? Because he hadn't got the witness in his heart. Couldn't do it. The Holy Ghost wasn't there. That's why. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I followed you for 3 years. That doesn't matter if the Holy Ghost isn't there. You can't do it. So the Lord brings us to face the truth. Now, I've said much along the line already of the personal thing. And this is most important, because he said, "You're to bear witness to me." He didn't say, "Well, now you're to go out and do mighty works." He didn't say that. He said, "You're to be witnesses to me." Praise God. And this is the most important thing. Jesus, the one great, glorious, true, settled, peaceful man on the earth. You're to bear witnesses to him. Bear witness to him. That's it. You're to be man of his mantle. That'll convince more people, beloved, than anything you can do. But having said that, now let's go to the Hebrews letter again. God wants to do things. And here then is the further work of God in witness. Chapter 2. Verse 1. "We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Amen. Amen. Here is God bearing witness again. God bears witness to the spoken thing. The thing that began to be spoken by the Lord, confirmed unto us by them that heard him, and God bearing witness, doubly confirming the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is what the Scripture says. He bore witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. It's his will to do it. It's God's will tonight to bear witness to his word, the thing that Jesus Christ said. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that the testimony of Jesus Christ is being continued. Jesus didn't go round saying, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to raise you up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He didn't say that. You don't have to say it, beloved. God bears witness to the truth of the gospel that's being preached by confirming it with the signs. Amen. The wonders and the different kinds of miracles that he does. Amen. And giving the Holy Ghost, distributions of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Distributing the Holy Ghost. This is what he wants. He just doesn't want to pour forth the Holy Ghost like he did on the day of Pentecost, but he wants to distribute the Blessed Spirit. In his will, it's his great desire, beloved, to distribute the Holy Ghost. And you know, I believe that God wants to distribute the Holy Ghost fairly, equally, evenly. I believe that all over the face of the earth. I believe God wants to do it in this room tonight. I believe that. I believe that God wants to give signs in this room tonight. He wants to do miracles in this room tonight. I'm quite sure that this is the will of God. Praise his wonderful name. It's his way of bearing witness to the fact that the gospel's true.
Amen.
It's God's own chosen way to give testimony to everybody. He bears witness this way. Amen. Why, the very fact of the giving of the Holy Ghost is a miracle. In itself, beloved, when we've come to this great gospel realm, we're in the realm of miracles. We've touched miracles straight away. Nothing ordinary about this. It's all miraculous. God's shut it right up to human wisdom, and human reasoning can't penetrate here. How can you penetrate miracles? They're only miracles because you can't penetrate them. At least from our standpoint, the tremendousness about it, beloved, is that God is wanting to do this thing. And he bears witness in this manner. And blessed be his holy name. Has he ever distributed the Holy Ghost to you? He bears witness. And so we're back at Acts 1:8 again. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. It all goes round in the great divine circle. In this marvel of God's love and his revelation. God will bear witness to you tonight in this room. He'll bear witness to you individually. Have you got a true heart? Are you honestly, sincerely believing the Lord? Is that right? In this great matter, Lord, I want you to baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, I believe you'll do it. Lord, do it now. the wonder and marvel about the Cornelius' household was that none of them asked. God did it. He was so gloriously intent on doing this. I am absolutely convinced, beloved, that it's God's intention in these days more and more to do this very thing. More and more. As I move around, I see that this is the great crying need throughout this land of ours. And blessed be the name of the Lord, there are hearts crying out for it too. They want it. They seek. They come. They call. Glory be to God. God will bear witness to you, friend. God will meet your need. You need have no doubt about that. And he'll bear witness to this gospel, not because I've preached it. It's got nothing to do with human personality or names. It only has to do with one name and one personality, and that's Jesus. It only has to do with him, and he bears witness to that. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Someone in this room tonight can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Someone's, if you like. Amen. You've nothing to despair of or fear, beloved. You can be healed in this room tonight. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that with all your heart? And if you don't need healing yourself, will you believe it for someone else? That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you believe that God will do miracles in this room tonight? If you don't need one doing for yourself, will you believe for someone else? That's right. Praise God. Jesus Christ believed for you. That's right. Marvelous, isn't it? Yeah, it's what God can do. And these are the signs, beloved. Praise his wonderful name. You shall be witnesses unto me, he said. Witnesses unto me. Oh, bless the Lord. This writer to the Hebrews, he wasn't one of the original disciples. He wasn't one of the original companies. Quite clear. He said, Jesus began, and somebody told us, it was confirmed to us by them that heard him. He was a second generation or something like this. He wasn't in at the beginning. No, he wasn't. And he said, he bore witness unto them. God bear witness. It was a marvelous thing, beloved, that this man, whoever the human amanuensis was that God used, this man, he heard someone preaching the gospel. In those days, beloved, signs and wonders used to accompany the preaching of the gospel. Not somebody who ran a healing campaign, particularly. These things used to accompany the preaching of the gospel. The signs used to take place. God used to move straight in, say, I'm signifying to you people that this is the truth. Hallelujah. I'm letting you know this is my signature in terms that you can understand. And so the Lord moves along this way to meet the needs of men and women. And God, beloved, is with us tonight to do his miracles and meet our needs. Amen. What are you believing now? What's your need? The greatest needs among us are spiritual, obviously. Your spiritual need. Your mental need. Two. Your emotional need. Glory be to God. When God moves in, he moves in with the intention of bringing people forth perfected in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not emotionally upset. Jesus Christ was not mentally split. Jesus Christ was not a two-natured man. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He infused divine nature into human nature. And the old man nature wasn't in it. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? If not, you'd better start. The Holy Ghost has come to make us like Him. I believe it. I believe it, beloved. I believe that when I go and put my spiritual hands and feel for the nail prints in my Jesus, and I run my hands down His back where He bore those stripes, I know, beloved, that everything that was knocked in Him and beaten on Him was my release from it all. I know that it was my healing. I know that it was my deliverance, even as I know His blood was my redemption, and I know His sacrifice was my atonement, and I know His flesh is my food, and I know His blood is my drink, and I know His spirit is my spirit. I know He came to give Himself for me and take from me, as I used to be, all that made me what I used to be, in order to make me what He wants me to be. Do you believe that? Well, start believing it. Go on. Let your heart feed on the truth. Amen. Come out of all this devil nonsense and bondage and depression and distress and half-truth and this, that, and the other. Beloved, open your heart out for a great draught of heavenly love. You believe Him. Glory. He's here to do this. He's here to bring you out of your impotence. He's come to bring you power from on high. He's come to bring you out of your self-life. He's come to bring you out of your centering on self, and your husband, and your wife, and your children, and your home, and your carpets, and this, that, and the other, and your car, and all this. He's come to bring you right out of all this. Hallelujah. He's come to center you on heaven's glory. He's come to bring you into the glory of God. That's what He's come for. You've got to come out of all the other. The Holy Ghost won't suffer you to stay in it. Amen. I'm sentenced to deliverance. Amen. It was decided before Jesus died and before the Holy Ghost left heaven. Amen. It was all decided. Praise His wonderful name. Amen. And you know why you have troubles and tests, don't you? So that you shall prove that you've got Him in you, guiding you through them all. That's what they're for. Simple. You know why you have difficulties, don't you? Not so that you should pray, "Oh God, take me out of them." No, so you should prove that in them you're more than a conqueror. That's why you have them. It's child's play. That's right, all the children of God have to go through it. Simple, straightforward enough. There's nothing complicated about this. Amen. If I'd have been clever enough, I would have thought it up myself. But since the Holy Ghost has taught me, of course I can see it as plain as a pikestaff. And so the Lord, beloved, He's going to bring us out of everything into His glory. When were you baptized in the Holy Spirit? When did you become, and know you were, not by any boasting or self-working up or anything, but by the witness of the Spirit of God in your own life, know that you are a witness to Him? Well, I've had people telling me today, we're not witnessing to Him. I said, well, you can. You've got to. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's seek God. We've got to, because my watch tells me we've got to stop before we're very much over. But beloved, if you mean business with God, if you mean business with God, now I don't mean by you putting pressures on yourself or any other man or woman putting pressures on you at all. If you mean business with God, right where you sit, you God can meet you just where you are. Yeah, just where you are. Just where they were on the day of Pentecost in an upper room, God met them. Hallelujah. Just where they were, Cornelius' household, God met them just where they were. And so you go right on through, beloved, your Bible is your testimony. You open your heart up to God, go on, and open yourself up, and God will meet you. He'll bear witness to your true state. You'll know yourself when you leave this room tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe God will deliver you? Do you know what you need delivering from? All right then. You lift your hand up to heaven with mine, and we'll take deliverance for you in the name of Jesus. We'll pray. That's right. In the name of Jesus now. I come against the bondages in this woman's life now. I come against these bondages of hell and death and Satan. Get out of her. I break your power over this mind and over this heart entirely in the name of Jesus. And this man here, in the name of Jesus, be free, brother. That's right. You receive. That's right. Hallelujah. You too, brother. Hallelujah. Glory. You too, in Jesus' name. This man here, you be free in the name of Jesus. The Lord set you free. Amen. You receive the Holy Spirit. Go on deep down inside you and be free. Amen. This man here, hallelujah. Be free, brother. I break the power of this in your heart and in your life and over you. Jesus, you too, my dear sister, you be free of these fears. You be free of these bondages and be free of everything that the devil has brought upon you. That's right. You believe God. Let your heart come whole now. No one has to wrestle with God. Amen. You receive what the Lord is giving you. In your heart, it's sweet and wonderful. Amen. It's good measure, and it's pressed down, and it's running over, and it's pressed into your bosom, well shaken together. Amen. Have it all. Glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord. You see, God works, beloved. Amen. And if you know that you've never received the Spirit of God, that is, your life isn't like that I've been talking about tonight. And I've only pointed you to the Bible. If your life isn't like that, if you know you haven't received the Spirit, you receive Him now. Go on. Just open yourself right up. Look to the Lord, clear and sweet through Calvary. Amen. Go on. Now you receive the Holy Ghost. You tell Him you receive Him. He wants to know that you receive Him. He wants to know that you believe sufficiently to say, Lord, I'll receive you, and I do right now. Amen. Don't say, well, God knows my heart only. He knows everybody's heart, but he wants us to come and ask and receive. Amen. Lord, bless thy name. Lord, I've received. Lord, I've received. By God, so good. I tell you, sometimes he does things, sort of gives you a kiss backhanded sort of thing. A young man came to see me not so many days ago, and he said, "Oh, what's the matter?" I said to him, he said, "Oh," he said, "I got serious trouble in the tummy, Mr. North." And he went all through it and told me all about it. And I said, "Do you believe the Lord will heal you?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "All right, you kneel down there then." So he knelt down there, and I prayed with him. And when the Lord was healing him, he healed me too. I needed the Lord to minister to me. Lord, I didn't ask for it. He healed me too. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's the wonderful part about it. I tell you, beloved, it's no wonder old Paul said, "God's my witness whom I serve in the Spirit." You get serving the Lord in the Spirit. You get serving the Lord in the Spirit. You can come out of all the fleshiness. And it's a marvelous thing what the Lord does. Of course, he has to do it if he's going to keep you going. He has to do it. Hallelujah. He accepts all his responsibilities. Praise his marvelous name. All right. Have you got what you wanted? Have you proved that everyone that asks receives? Have you? You didn't get a scorpion if you asked for an egg, did you? Hey? Glory. Precious Lord, we do say thank you tonight for all your love. Thank you, Lord, that this gospel of thine is going to be preached for a witness unto the ends of the earth, and then shall the end come. We thank thee for it, Lord. Lord, Lord, let everybody here know this great desire of thy heart, this gospel that thou hast launched upon the world in the mouth of the Spirit, through the breath of God. Lord, let this great power from on high permeate the true church of God. Lord, let everything that's false and not of this thy full revelation fade and die. And let that which is of thee live and prosper. And let thy sons and daughters go forth to the end of the earth and preach this wonderful truth. Set men and women free, Father, we pray thee. Break all the bondages that hold them back, and all the pretenses and excuses. Let them perish, Lord, and let everyone know thy love by the man of Calvary, and let them gauge everything by that wondrous outshedding of blood. Let everything be valued here, Lord, this night, we pray thee. And let all our lives be taken up in a glow and a fire and a burning from on high. Let it happen, Lord, we pray thee. Oh God, our cry goes up unto thee. Thou living God, help us. Thou Christ of glory, baptize men and women. Oh, Jesus, from thy throne, again move, we beseech thee, until devils fear and fly, and bondages break, and hearts become alive, and mouths are filled with thy glory, and power from on high is bringing everything from below to death. Do this, Lord, we pray thee. Oh, Jesus, fulfill thy heart's desire. We want to give earnest heed to the things we've heard. We want our lives to be applied by the power of the Spirit until there's nothing left to apply. Nothing. Because all is gathered up in God. Lord, we beseech thee, do this. We believe thee, Lord. Come on, beloved, join your hearts with mine. Join your hearts with mine. That's right. Hallelujah. You believe God. That's right. You let the glory of God take the place of the gloom of earth. That's right. The light of heaven to take the darkness of hell away. That's right. Let the thrill and the power and the confidence of God take away the desolations and the impotence and all the uncertainty of men. Move into this great kingdom with all zeal. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you in?
Amen.
How much of you? Spirit, soul, and body. Are you in?
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory. Glory to God. Amen.
Lord.